The following is a Goulash Media production. GoulashMedia.net.
I'll make questionable decisions. I'll be in fact of all I saw. Searching for my sins. If I'm your image.
Oh, hey, I didn't see you there. Welcome back to the least comfortable show on the web. The system is down. I'm just kidding. I don't read. Whatever. This is the system is down bonus episode. I don't know when this is coming out, but it'll come out. I guarantee it. For all the time that we spent waiting on my guest today to figure out his technical issues, this will definitely come out. But before we get into the conversation and whatever it becomes, I gotta remind you about you guys. My producers, my sponsors, and the Downers Club, first and foremost, being Jack Casey. That's all we're going to say today. The rest of you didn't earn it. If you want to earn it, then go join the Downers Club at the sponsor level that Jack Casey is at, and I will do... I might do this. Maybe I won't do the same. Maybe not everybody will get the treatment that Jack Casey's going to get today. But go join the Downers Club at patreon.com/thesystemisdown and support what we're doing here and support people like Jack Casey's work as well. But my brain melted. Okay. Patreon.com/thesystemisdown. We're going to talk to Jack Casey. I also got to remind you about our other sponsor, which is Free Ounce of Kratom. I know you guys aren't that interested in Kratom. We've been doing this Kratom thing for a while, and you keep not taking my advice and taking my word for it. Travis is coming back on next week. He'll tell you all about Kratom because he's experienced it now. But since I said last week that they sell weed, we've started getting some interest. So if you'd like to try some weed or Kratom, go over to Free Ounce of Kratom or MyBraveBotanicals.com. I should probably change that link down at the bottom. Do MyBraveBotanicals.com. Enter the promo code TSID for 5% off your entire order. And you can try some Delta 8 THC. All right. So, come on, button. Do as I say. Okay. Today's guest, which I'm woefully prepared for, as you can tell, is Jack Casey.
Hey.
Jack is an author, and that's all I know about him. But we're going to find out together more. Jack, you wrote The Royal Green.
Yep.
That's the extent of my knowledge, other than you are the one other user of the platform MeWe, I found out. You're the only person who talks to me on there.
Yeah, I got tired of Facebook, too, and... MeWe was the next best thing I could find for now, at least. So,
yeah. So tell me about you. Well, first off, how are you?
Let's start with
normal human pleasantries.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm here in my like kind of weirdly dark, ominous writer lighting corner of the room.
It's nice and dramatic. I like nobody sees the other half. You can only see one half of an author's face at any time.
Exactly. Yeah. A little mystery. How do I sound? How do I look? Is the hair good?
Sounds good. Looks great. It's the best hair I've ever seen.
I mean,
seen
you don't need to flirt, but yeah.
Yes. So what brings you here, Jack? Tell me about yourself. Yeah. Where do you come from?
Well, I grew up in California. I lived 10 years in Texas. That was fun. I'm up in Washington State now. And over the course of my adventures in Texas, and some deep, dark soul searching, I wrote a book, several, and, I'm here to share it, with my fellow libertarians.
Nice. Now, when somebody says they wrote a book, they usually mean like I wrote a 200 page tops book. That's usually where they start, like, Schmuck Remzo Martinez over there. But this is, when you say you wrote a book, you fucking wrote a book, man. What is it? Yeah. 500-600 pages, somewhere in between.
Yeah, it's a chunk. It's a big one. amazingly, it was even longer, and my wife helped me chop that thing down to 500 pages. Yeah, nice. Yeah. No, so I started writing it. You know, I dabbled and written stuff growing up, but I started this when I was 17, back actually on Independence Day weekend in 2009. And it was at that time in my life, and I'm sure many others, where you just start like questioning stuff about your world, your reality, like your beliefs you grew up with. You know, it was Independence Day weekend. I'm starting to think like, what does independence actually mean for me or the world, or, you know? So it was a lot of introspection. And in fact, even the opening scene is this prince who's staring literally into a mirror, you know, with a, you know, overbearing authority figure looming over his shoulder. And he's just asking questions about his, you know, his role in life, whether or not he wants to play the roles he's been given. And that's kind of the opening theme. And that's where I started questioning stuff, you know, just wrestling with deeper beliefs and why I think them and what the truth is. And, and then that, you know, evolved over time. I took a break from it for a few years and then came back to it and wrote the rest of it when I was around 21 ish.
Nice.
Now,
In the writing process, did you start out with the intention of making it kind of a libertarian themed book, or did that come later?
No. And that's the funny part is at the time I started it, I had very, very authoritarian views. I was much more on the other spectrum. Sure. And this book really was me kind of putting myself in my worldview, kind of under self-examination, you know, and kind of opening that door to the subconscious and letting, you know, letting my subconscious tell me things or wrestle with those ideas. And by the end of it, coming out the other side, I was like, holy crap, I'm a libertarian. This is what I actually believe and want to be with my life. And so I didn't set out to write explicitly that. It's not straight up, you know, libertarian propaganda.
Sure.
But I think the themes and stuff it wrestles with have that kind of libertarian angst and and that theme of rebellion and seeking, you know, freedom and purpose in a world that's, you know, getting weirder and scarier, and there's plots and conspiracies and you don't know who to trust and all that. Right. So,
I think it's probably better that you didn't start out with it being a libertarian themed book, because it's kind of like Christian art, quote unquote, or like any preachy thing where you're parking the message before the art. And I feel like there's plenty of libertarians who are like, I'm going to set out to be a libertarian artist. And it's like, you might get your foot in the door. You'll have an immediate audience, just like the Christian bands or whatever. You'll have that youth group audience to play to, but that doesn't make it good. And you're not going to have, you know, actual criticism, because if you're looking to just preach, then go preach. But if you're looking to make good art, then you got to find that middle ground. So how did that work for you? How does the process of messaging or writing or coming up with these themes and, you know, working them in, what's the writing process for you, I suppose?
Yeah, I think, I mean, like you said, the focus was always tell a good story, you know, make it as good as possible. Take all your inner, you know, thoughts and ideas reflected in the characters and just tell something that's believable or fun or real or interesting. And then through that, you know, kind of see. I think what really helped me, you know, because I wrote it originally for myself and to kind of wrestle with my own, you know, inner struggles and darkness and whatnot and try to find hope and all that. But what helped me decide to like push through to actually put it out there and try to sell it for other people to read too was honestly remembering how much stories helped me. In times I was feeling alone or in a dark place. You know, there's certain stories you read or watch, whether it's movies or books, and they stay with you. They kind of help you through those times. And something about, I think, seeing characters live out some of these philosophies or ideas in their actions, I think can even convey and inspire that, you know, before someone's sometimes ready to have a conversation about, you know, things like actual libertarian policy or, you know, all those things. But when you've read a story or seen something where you're like, wow, I really care about what's happening to these people in it. And I'm seeing them face the things that are also happening in the real world in other ways. I think it really helps kind of convey that message on a sort of deeper level too. And it wrestles with other things too, beyond politics. It's, you know, it's got the spiritual wrestlings, the personal philosophical, you know, themes of forgiveness or redemption or how to deal with, you know, evil or guilt and all that.
Yeah. Now, we'll get into some of what it's actually about, but before we do, and Jack doesn't even know about this, I've got a video clip to play here. As you all know, I'm not much of a reader myself, but my wife, Kayla, who frequents the show, is a very big reader, and if there's a book laying around the house, as I told you in our conversation on MeWe, if there's a book laying around the house, she's going to read it, even though I won't, but she's going to fill me in as she goes along, and here's the first installment of this.
So my first impression...
Go on.
Oh no, we don't get to redo it. My first impression is that the book cover reminds me of Lord of the Rings, and I think about how arduous those movies are, and then I think, I don't know if I'm gonna like this. And so I open the first page, and I see that his name is Jack Casey, and I think there's no way that's his real name. That has to be a pen name. It's too perfect. And then after the thank yous, which are lovely, there's a page and one sentence worth of a really ominous story that I'm sure it will circle back around to eventually, but it does leave me with questions and makes me want to read more. So I turn the pages and I get started.
That's how book reading usually
goes. It is. I wish that the chapters had names other than chapter one and chapter two. It's so much capitalization there. Anyway, when I start reading, at first I'm like, wow, that's a lot of description. Like, very, very descriptive. And then as I go through it, I realize that without knowing it, he's created a world for me. And I'm only on page 28, and I was thinking about coming home to read this book some more. Yes, and usually I stick to very specific authors, which is another reason it's hard for me to pick up a new book, but I think that while at first it seemed like too much details, it's woven together so beautifully, it's like poetry, that I can keep reading it, no problem, but then it's not even too much. It's not too much, after all. Is that what you wanted to hear?
So that's that.
Beautiful. She was beautiful. Just sitting, I cannot have asked for more.
It's very, very descriptive. It's long and...
But poetry.
There's pages.
That's beautiful.
So we'll check back in with her from time to time and get her thoughts on it.
I can't wait till she's like weeping, you know, partway through and sobbing over, you know, the event. Yes.
Yes. Is your book going to get me laid, Jack? That's the real question here.
Yeah. Yeah. She'd be like, this guy's cool. You know him? Oh my gosh. Casey, that can't be a real name.
That's right. Yep. I told her, I'm pretty sure it is, but we'll say that it isn't, because it lends to the ominousness of you.
I thought, I was like, you know, could try a pen name, but I feel like I would just Iron Man the thing. I'd be like, I am Iron Man, you know, right. Like I wouldn't be able to resist.
Yep, exactly. It's tough. So that is also the reason why this book is already in poor condition. I gave her crap for it yesterday. She's got stains on it already. She got ice cream stains on it.
Oh, they weren't like tears of like beauty wept or no.
No, it's much worse than that. I've only had this book for about 4 days and she's already destroyed it, but it's fine. Maybe we'll auction it off after. Right.
Yeah. It's used. It has history to it now. It's got personality in there. Yep. Yeah.
So tell me about what it is exactly. Like, what's the kind of the feel and the story?
Yeah. So you've got two main characters whose perspectives you alternate from. And it's this prince and a duke's daughter. And it's very much got this sort of almost, you know, the classic warring families trying to keep the peace with arranged marriage type of situation. And so they're kind of interested in each other, but also kind of scared of what their respective parents are doing and trying to spy on one another. But the prince's mother, the queen, is this very, you know, authoritarian, domineering person who's ruling the kingdom.
A bitch.
And yeah, a real bitch, huge bitch. And and the duke's daughter, her dad, the duke, is this sort of, you know, revolutionary, you know, trying to do things peacefully, diplomatically, but is also kind of wondering when and how he might need to start fighting. And so it's got that tension of rebellion, revolution, sort of that sort of grander conflict. But then in the characters themselves, they're both wrestling with, you know, the roles their parents have given them, what they want, whether or not they want to be together, or whether there's other people they want to be with. They're trying to find their own sense of freedom in a world where they're also trying to keep the peace between these, you know, two halves of the kingdom that are, on the brink of civil war, which is weirdly familiar, right? We also live in a very divided time, so yep. It seems all the more relevant.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, as she mentioned, it's got kind of a Lord of the Rings feel to the cover. Is it more fantasy, or is it more based in monarchical reality?
It's kind of in that pseudo. So it's going to feel almost like historical fiction, but it's in a fantasy setting, sort of made up setting and place, but with some similarities to our world, you'll see. And I often compare it. It's got the kind of darkness that like Game of Thrones has, but also sure. mixed in with a lot of other ones it's compared to. But yeah, that's interesting, the Lord of the Rings pick. I mean, certainly the themes of power, in this case, a ring in that sense, with the cover symbolizing power, if not a literal power, like a magic ring in that sense, just the concept of power and titles themselves, you know, the royalty or people in positions of authority, and the sort of dangers or the dark underbelly or you know, behind the scenes, the deep state, if you will, behind, how those things operate. And here you've got a prince who doesn't want his throne. He doesn't want to rule, and he's trying to figure out how to be the best, you know, ruler he can be, but without letting the worst elements of his family or other forces at work, you know, get the better of him and the way he wants to do things. So
cool.
Plays with a lot of those themes. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that some of the stories that you read growing up or whatever, helped your life along the way. What are some of the, you know, things that had an impact or things that influenced the book?
You know, there's a lot. It's hard to say because it's both books and movies. I think I blend the two easily in my mind. I feel like if it's a good story, you know, I think ones that mine resembles are in some sense drawn from that. I mean, everything from, you know, Vendetta or, you know, Dune or Ender's Game or a lot of different authors and kind of sci-fi fantasy classics or ones people might be familiar with or ones with revolutionary overtones. And those have each spoken to me at some point in some way, for sure.
Cool. Romeo and Juliet meets The Matrix. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Yeah, that's not that far off, honestly.
Cool. So you've got the second book as well, which is still, as you can see, in pristine condition. I give it about 3 weeks before it's destroyed in our household.
Wait till she's clutching it, weeping and going, I need to know what happens in the sequel.
Right. Do you have these planned out? I know there's a third one coming this summer, and then is there more planned after that, or what's the plan?
Well, let's see. The third one, I mean, you know, when I wrote each one too, I wrote each one so that you could leave it off there. Like there's some cliffhangers to things, but also a sense of closure with each book.
Right.
Like you could kind of leave it there with the door open. But I did kind of develop a trilogy in my head. But with this world that's being created and the characters, I always want to leave that door open for more. I feel like you could have a sort of conclusive story arc with the three books if you just want to jump in, get a good story, and then walk away. But I do think, especially if, you know, if it does well, it opens this whole world and room for many more books that have to do with those characters or that world. And so, you know, maybe the trilogy is like a little little teaser for what else could be. If people want to support it now. And
you'll eventually go the ways of George Lucas or J.K. Rowling or whatever. You'll have to make the backstory and it'll suck and Disney will ruin it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There'll be action figures and they won't look at all like the characters. And yeah.
Absolutely. So what do you do for, like, when you write a character, do you have somebody in mind that you're kind of basing it off of, or how does that work?
Oh, you know, there's a mixture. I mean, there's some of me in all of them. I think in some sense it's like a, you know, inner psychological, you know, pieces of yourself kind of battling each other and talking to each other. Being a writer
personally, the main character with the flowing locks and the shadowy face figures based off of, right?
clearly. But yeah, so part of it's definitely me. It's my own kind of self, you know, wrestling with things. But then also I recognize even in the characters how much there's if not specific people I've met, this general sense of the things about people I've really admired, or about people I've been afraid of, or even things I've been afraid of in myself, and it's all coming from a mixture of reality and also the sort of imaginings or, you know, hopes and fears of what might be or what could be or what, you know, what's going on there. So
yeah makes sense. So when does the Netflix series come out?
Oh man, that'd be awesome. I'd have to be pretty hands-on though. I'd want some creative control over it. That's part of why I self-published too. I didn't want to, you know, hand over the rights too much to someone else. So for better or worse, whether it's great or people hate it, it's on me. It's on me. Sure. My choices.
Now, when you say self-publishing, did you do like the artwork and all that stuff too, or was that?
Actually, yes. Yeah, so the artwork is done by my my brother Steven. He's incredible. He does great artwork. He does some music too. I should plug his
stellar campaign ads, I must say.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. No, that's a different brother. That too. Yeah. It's completely different, but also talented relative. Yeah. No, this is my stepbrother, Steven.
Gotcha.
He's great. I described the concept to him. He ran with it. He has such an instinct for what I'm going for or the mood. Mm-hmm. And with both books, I've been really excited. He's working on the third one right now, so I'm really excited to reveal that when he's done there. Mm-hmm. But other than that, all the creative decisions, it was me, my wife, helping me edit. Mm-hmm. And I had some help over the years from others who helped early on. It's very... working for myself here, you know, self-published through Amazon. They're kind of the cheapest and easiest right now to self-publish through, as far as I've seen. But
you heathen capitalist, you.
Yeah, exactly. Help. Look, if I sell enough of them, I can then branch out and, you know, I can just do it elsewhere.
Yeah. So, do you have any concerns about using sword agents in your book?
Oh.
Is this a crossover between Marvel?
The Marvel thing. I remember someone pointed that out. And of course, like, you know, this book.
Archilius, Captain of Sword.
Yeah. It's a weird Marvel crossover. They show up. I figure, look, my ideas were there back when I was 17. So I got that locked in. Maybe the comics beat me to it. I don't know. I'm not as familiar with the comics, but
I am not either. But about how long does it take you? Like, have things sped up as you have gotten into like doing more books? Like, I assume that you know, the first one's always the longest labor of love, and then the process gets less. You know, I don't
certainly
know,
less. Yeah, yeah.
Not less passionate, but less like sacred, where every little word is. Of utter importance.
Right. Like you've got the first one on your belt, like, okay, I got this now. Right. Yeah, no, certainly. I think, I mean, from starting the first chapter, I then took a few years break to kind of let the ideas and just live my own life too. And I was distracted with things. And and then when I came back to it a few years after I started the chapter, I finished the chapter and wrote the rest of it probably about a year and a half.
Nice.
And then with each subsequent book, it took about a year and a half. And then once I had those drafts, I just sat on those for a while, editing and re-editing and going through all the internal anxieties of actually putting it out there and then finally going for it. Yeah. So, I mean, if I could do it full time and not be working a day job and, you know, all the other stuff going on, then, oh yeah, I'm sure I could keep putting them out there now.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's a really rewarding experience, with all the fears and anxieties too, and self-doubts, but also the satisfaction of knowing that you made a little book, baby, and put it out there for people to love and hate as they see fit.
That's right. Now, you mentioned your day job. I was curious about what your day job is, but I didn't want to ask because that's like saying, I know that you're an unsuccessful author. Now, what do you what do you do for a living?
I know that you're not popular enough to do this for real, but
in fairness, I'm certainly not making a living off of what we're doing right now. So,
no, that's the dream. No, I love it. No, yeah. I right now, I'll tell you, since the lockdowns, holy shit, like delivery service related stuff. So I do everything from grocery delivery, all the, you know, delivery app gig stuff. I like it most of all because of the freedom of setting my own schedule.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, as a person like me, I have a hard time sticking to certain schedules in regular jobs. But I've worked in like everything from retail, hospitality, like at a hotel. But yeah, if whatever's paying the bills, man, whatever gives me some freedom to set more of my schedule and have more time to write. I mean, that's part of why I dropped out of college too. So I can make time to write. I was like this.
Yeah.
I was like, I had to choose. I'm like, look, it's either I'm working full time. It's either college or writing.
What were you going to college for?
Right. I had no idea.
Nobody knows.
I was in there. Yeah, I was there and I was looking around and I was like, what am I doing here? I don't feel like I'm learning as much as I thought I would.
Right.
Yeah, that was probably a really smart decision. I don't have college debts, thankfully. Yeah,
absolutely. I went for a semester and a half at a community college and I took like a graphic design course and I'd already taught myself Photoshop and all that shit. And I took a Photoshop class and got literally 100% on every single thing. Every single assignment, I was like, well, this is stupid. And I remember vividly asking the professor, which is, that should not be the term we're using for these people, but the guy who was there to show you how to
propagandist,
turn the computer on.
Indoctrination.
Pretty much. I asked him, like, what do you have to do in life? Or like, what should my steps be if I want to do like graphic design for bands and edgy stuff full time? And he's like, well, you'd probably have to go to college for, stay here for like 4 to 8 years and then join a firm and then do like cereal box branding, or not even branding, like just layouts and stuff like that first and work your way up in the firm. And I was like, goodbye. I'm done here.
Yeah.
And I left. And
yeah.
Just kept doing it until people started paying me for stuff. So that worked
out. I hear you. It's such an outdated model. I think we're seeing, especially our generation, we're waking up to new ways of doing things, especially with the internet and like realizing how many weird artificial, and again, this of course translates to libertarianism, but how many weird artificial barriers there are in our education, in our work life, corporate jobs and stuff, and realizing there's so many better ways and smarter ways to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just take the time and make the effort to like figure out and connect those dots and yeah, I mean, exactly. It's like, I'd love to work for myself full time one day because And there's other jobs where I'm sure the degrees and everything else still work just fine for them, for preparing them for a particular
one
type of skill or job.
One or two, maybe.
Well, but again, a lot of those are because of artificial licensing restrictions. You know,
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. We're not necessarily here to talk about college, but I rant when I talk about it. I hold it against nobody, but it's like
for guys like us, we're like
creating innovators if we're doing this. Like, you're taking old people who learned on MS-DOS and telling them how to having them teach children the best ways to go about life when those kids are just wasting their time being there at all. They could be out innovating and coming up with the solutions for themselves and being more successful. But I don't know.
Get your hands dirty. Go, you know, when you're in the industry you want to get into, you learn more on the job than you do. I feel like most jobs you get hired at, they're not like, you know, they're not like, all right, what did you learn in school a few years ago? They're like, here's how to do this. I'll show you. I'll teach you. There, now you know. Let's do this now.
Right.
You know,
kind of. Yeah. If only we could get rid of that pesky minimum wage. Anyway, let's talk about.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. So.
Anyway, so I dropped out of college to be a rebel and a writer. So that's.
Which I can only imagine that you were in college and you're like, I don't know what my plan is, but I'm not seeing it here. I'm doing it on the side anyway, so I can keep spending money in time on God knows what until I find it, or I can just pursue a passion.
I'd honestly thought to try and do film at some point, but I knew that it was going to take more time or resources than I had to at the time to get good at it or to be able to do as much with it. So I was like, okay, I'll write, and that's kind of been my specialty. But yeah, but if that could ever be movies or on Netflix one day, that'd be great. That'd be cool. that'd be
it'll be my first film, my first feature length film. And we'll do it.
You're out there doing it right now. That's awesome.
Yeah.
you're showing me that it can be done outside of the regular.
Right. Yeah. And I didn't go to, like, my main job isn't even graphic design. I mean, that's part of it. But the main thing that I make my income off of is video, and didn't learn that from anybody but YouTube. So I give YouTube shit when they give me shit, but it is free education. It's basically, it's more valuable than college at this point if you're going into something technical or artistic or something like that.
Yeah, it gives me hope. We're in that era of innovation, new ways of doing things, new technology. We're circumventing all the old barriers and obstacles. And same with publishing for writers. I mean, kind of similar deal. It's like, there's a traditional publishing route, which I considered, where you get an agent and you go to a publisher and you're basically begging them to pay attention to you. And I for a brief time, I thought about going that route. And same thing, I was like, nah, this is the old way of doing things. I don't think I have to do that. I can just publish this myself, do it independently, and get it out there directly to my audience and market it myself and do all of that. So, so here I am doing that right now.
Awesome. Now, do you have plans, for any other projects? Like, do you have other stories in mind that are somewhere down the line?
There's other genres, other random stories I've had in my head for a long time I wanted to get around to. This just happens to be the one that I think kind of led the way, where once I really pushed through and finished it, I was like, okay, I got something here to work with. I should keep this going. The second I'm done with this, I'd love to keep putting more out there, build up. That way, if people discover, you know, or maybe they go, oh, okay, the sci-fi fantasy thing, not quite my thing, you know, I could write, you know, a story set in modern day or something too that they may like. And I just want to build out that bookshelf, you know. Hopefully eventually that bookshelf behind me it'll all be my books, you know. It'll just be, you can see one. There's one so far in the background.
Maybe my I don't have a bookshelf. I don't read. Do you got anything else that we should know about the Royal Green? I should mention, I keep getting blown up on my phone. Spike has been texting me this whole time.
And
it's because I'm talking to, do not apologize. Spike flopped out of the last time we were scheduled for Wednesday. He moved it to today. We still got a couple hours. I noticed that you're promoting on Spike's show as well.
That's and right. That's
every
right.
Every time they bring it up, they say, I have no idea what this book is about. I've never seen this before, and it looks kind of weird. Go buy it. That's basically their endorsement. I'm here finding out the actual information on the book.
That's right. You're doing the real work.
Putting in the work.
You know, would I like to start a friendly competition between you and Spike to see who can promote it best and sell it the best?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. Am I pitting you two against each other? We'll see.
Yes. I mean,
it would be pretty funny though if you, when you talk to him, you're holding my book again, and then you're like, "Oh, sorry, I'm
just
about
have it right here the entire episode."
I wonder if he knows if he's gonna be like, "Wait a minute, oh, that guy, he's there too. He's everywhere. What's going on?
That's right. So is the last or the third book, is that all done and ready to go, or is it still in the works?
Yeah, it's pretty much that. I mean, you do like triple, quadruple checks, everything, last minute edits. There's been scenes now and then too that I've added the last second because I had an epiphany. And I'm like, oh, I should put that in there. Mm-hmm. So it's coming together. I'm aiming for, we'll see, July, definitely summer, if all goes well. Mm-hmm. Cool. But yeah, just touching everything up, getting ready. It's called Crowned by Gold. As you know, gold is a color we like.
Yes. Yes, we do.
And yeah, it's fun. It's been an awesome journey putting these out, and I can't wait to see more people's reactions and ratings and reviews, and even the ones who hate it. I'd love to see what they don't like about it too. I'm actually really curious.
Even the ones that hate it did more work than Spike Cohen.
For now, yeah, until everyone starts reading it, because they're like, well, now I gotta know, now I gotta beat them to it.
That's right.
I guess your wife will report back.
Yeah, she'll be the first person.
That was hilarious, by the way. I can't wait to see her updates and feelings by the end of it. That would be really cool.
Absolutely.
I'm glad she's pulled in.
Yeah, she's enjoying it. And yeah, she even said, like, off recording, she led with, yeah, I thought it was just going to be, which she likes fantasy more than I do, but she was like, oh, I thought it was going to be like just Lord of the Rings kind of, which is good storytelling, mm-hmm. but a little
overplayed.
Bit much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little stuffy.
With my book, I actually almost intentionally tried to subvert some expectations where it as it unravels, I think she'll see chapter by chapter, you'll think the story and setting is going one way, and then you keep peeling back that onion, and you'll keep seeing some surprises and fun. I'll just let her read it.
Cool.
I'm excited. Yeah.
And when you do the audio version, I will listen to it.
Yes, that'll be how I'll get everyone to hear it. Yeah. Hey, maybe I'll have you record the audio version. You could be the voice of one of the characters.
I'd be down. Of course, you choose the guy who admittedly doesn't read anything to read your book and record it instead.
They'll force you to look at it.
I will read if somebody pays me, just so you know.
Exactly. If you're being hired to do a job for it, then it works.
That's right. Yeah, you'll get these subtle dulcet tones. But anyway, Jack, it's been fun. Do you have any final thoughts or anything else that you want people to know about the Royal Green series?
I mean, this has been a blast. I've been having fun. Check it out. I think too, whether or not you like sci-fi fantasy, I think there's something in there for everyone. I mean, it's got some dark stuff, so be prepared. It's not for the faint of heart, but it also hopefully it's just a fun adventure, and that they'll get something out of it, especially if if you're a libertarian and you like sort of political drama, tension, kind of stuff, I think you'll enjoy it. TheRoyalGreen.com is where you can order it, or directly from Amazon for now, until I find some other way to get it out there for cheap.
There's a reason why we're all still on Facebook, and because it's great, it's just because it works. Yeah.
It's where the people are. We're gonna win them wherever we can on every battlefield. So
right, yeah. And you never have to worry about Amazon going down, or do you? I don't know.
Yeah, for now.
Maybe you should work Amazon into your book as a necessary evil overlord. That
yeah, you gotta work within to defeat it, right? You gotta sort of yeah. It gets popping enough, they're like, oh my god, what is this, libertarian book? Quick, pull it.
Pretty much. It might take them 300 pages to get there, so they might not actually find out the
dangers.
That's
my plan. Disguise it with other things, and then they won't know.
So. There you go. Well, cool, man. It's been awesome chatting with you. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. And let everybody know one more time where they can find information about you, your book, your series, and everything you got going on, man.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is theroyalgreen.com. You can find it on Amazon. I'm on MeWe, just kind of dicking around on there, so you can see me there too. Mm-hmm. There's technically a page there if you want to like and follow it. Cool. But yeah, maybe I'll put out more, get on more platforms soon too.
Yeah.
Put myself back out there.
Cool, man. Awesome. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Hey guys, thanks for watching. Be sure to like and subscribe on your way out and help us change the world one uncomfortable conversation at a time. And if you like what you hear and you want to hear more, go join the Downers Club at patreon.com/thesystemsdown for bonus episodes of the show every single week. Until next time, please continue to question everything, stay uncomfortable, and I'll talk to you then. Thanks.
This has been a Goulash Media production. GoulashMedia.net.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.